Ja, det är idag den 30 december 1985 och jag sitter tillsammans med Frank Lysell i... Är det Molin eller Ismolin här?
Ismolin.
Han var född 1911 den 10 augusti i Ystaby, Blekinge. Mm. Och kom till Amerika 1930. Och in Swedish, you understand my English. Can you tell me a little bit about your first years? Now you were born on a farm, or
I worked for a farmer over there in Sweden, and so I started when I was about 14 years old and work on a farm. And
so your father now, he worked in Sölvesborg.
Yeah, he was han var
skeppsarbetare eller?
No, det vet när var det tillverkade båtar, you know.
Skeppsvarv?
Ja, det kallade varvet, you know. Varvet.
Så ni bodde inte långt därifrån då? Ifrån varvet där pappa arbetade?
Nej, det var en svensk mil.
Alltså en svensk mil?
Ja, till Ystaby. Ja, han cyklade.
Han cyklade varje dag?
Ja. Och om vintern så fick det gå. När det var för mycket snö så fick det fota över mig.
Så det var... Upp tidigt på morgonen då och äta frukost då?
Ja, de hade en båt ibland när de kunde gå. Se, Sölvesborg, det var en
vik,
ja. Så de kunde komma igenom mer nära.
Så ni var många barn, var det någon mer utav, är du en utav de yngre eller äldre i
syskonskapen? Ja, min bror som bor i Präfestown, han är den äldste. Jag hade en bror emellan oss, han dog. Han seglade till sjöss. Han var en steward. Han dog i Kina. Han var på en båt i Kina, han hade hjärtfel. Men han är super.
Han var inte gammal då?
Han bara 39 år gammal.
Han dog. Så han var inte hemma ofta då, utan...
Nej,
han
var på sjöna nästan. Sen hade jag en bror som dog uppe i Stockholm. Han hade en liten affär där uppe. Han var bara 42 år gammal när han dog. Han reste över, han var i Ryssland och all över. Det var det hände med honom.
Vad var det för slags affärer han var i om han åkte till Ryssland?
En liten sålde limonad och glas,
Men det var ingen utav pojkarna som arbetade med pappa på varvet?
Nej, det var ingen.
Ingen som gjorde pappa sällskap till?
Han ville inte ha någon som jobbade.
Inte det?
Nej.
Varför?
Nej, det han tyckte inte om det. Så jag hade en onkel här.
Din bror till pappa?
Ja. No, till mor. Min mor. Så han kom hit först. Och sen kom min bror 2 år innan jag kom över här. Så han kom 1928, min bror kom över. Men onkel han dog, han hade blindtarmsinflammation. Han dog när han var bara 34 år gammal.
Var kom han över till Amerika?
Ja, han kom över 1925. Okay.
Så ditt arbete då i efter konfirmation, det var jordbruksarbete på gårdar?
Ja, bondgårdar.
Duka rovor och sockerbete?
Ja.
Det känner du till?
Sockerbete, ja. Och gallra, sockerbete, potatis.
Så, när fick du amerikatankar i
Well, när min bror kom över så ville han att jag skulle komma över. Sådär. Det tog ett år innan jag, you know. Jag la in ansökan.
Skriva till kungs?
Ha?
Du fick skriva till kungs då?
Ja, jag var uppe i Stockholm. Det hade du...
Så du hade inte exerat nu?
Nej. Jag var 18 år när jag kom, you know. Så jag slapp det. You know.
Så du fick vänta ett år innan du kunde komma över efter att du lagt in ansökan?
Ja, det tog tid.
Så din bror då, skickade han över biljett eller... Köpte du det själv i Sölvesborg?
Jag lånade till lite pengar till. Jag hade en moster. Moster, du vet vad det är.
Ja.
Så hon lånade mig här några pengar.
Och du lånade henne?
Ja.
Du lånade pengar till din moster?
400 dollar samtidigt. Ja. Kronor, kanske det var kronor. Jag vet
vad, det är. Vad sa pappa nu om beslutet att du skulle åka över till Amerika? Var han för att du skulle åka eller?
Ja. Well.
Han hade inget emot det?
Det var ju folk som kom, reste. Nästan alla runt där hade ju...
De fick ge sig av. Ni kunde inte stanna på bryggen eller på trakten och få arbete, utan ni måste ut och...
Ja, på den tiden. Och segla till sjöss. Se, om jag hade stannat hemma, hade väl jag...
Sjöman.
Blivit sjöman, ja. Men nu, det är ju det är andra. Nu, det har ju plenty att jobb där nu.
Så din pappa, han har arbetat på Bornholm, sa du?
Han var ung, innan han var gift. Ja, yngre dagar, ja. Ja, i den boken, hans förfader... Vad kallar det?
Förfäder.
Det var präster en del av dem. Så det var från Bohuslän. Yes. Och uppe i Västergötland.
Har du kommit ner till Blekinge?
Ja, det vet jag inte. Yes. Hur han kom dit. Se där, min bror i Malmö, han har undersökt, han har gått tillbaka. De har ett hus där som det, Lysell var min... det var 1850-talet.
Ja,
så det är ett hus där som det ska låta stå som...
I Malmö?
Jag tänker det är Västergötland eller?
Jaså. Alltså det är en gammal prästsläkt då?
Ja.
Jaha.
Så om du... Ska du gå till Sverige någon gång?
Ja, det ska jag göra i...
Om du, jag skulle ge dig min adress till min bror... Så han är intresserad av folk som han går 200-300 år tillbaka har han forskat. Så det kan gå i kyrkböckerna och finna ut.
Så det går långt tillbaka i tiden, släkten. Så vi var alltså inflyttade från Bohuslän och Västergötland ner till... För att söka arbete. Men du blev alltså Amerika-emigrant 1930. Kände du till någonting att det började bli besvärligt här över? De hade inte skrivit det, morbror och din bror. Att du inte skulle komma 1930. Utan de sa att du skulle komma hit.
Ja, vi hade ju...
För depressionen var ju färdig då.
Ja.
Och komma i fullt utspel. Men du visste ingenting om det?
Nej.
För du kunde ingen engelska när du kom över.
Jag kunde inte, va?
Du kunde ingen engelska när du kom ut?
Ingen engelska. Inte ett ord.
Inte ett
ord? Nej, när jag kom till Chicago så ringde jag, försökte ringa sig.
Till din morbror?
No, till Bensons här, var jag skulle gå. Jag skulle gå till Nils Benson i Morrison. Och jag skulle ringa sig.
Var han släkt med dig eller?
Nej, hans... hans syster gifte sig med min morbror.
Visste då?
Ja, det var det.
Och han var farmare?
Han var farmare, ja. Så jag ringde där ner från Chicago till Morrison. En hans hustru, Nella Benson, hon blandade engelska och svenska. Så jag kunde ju inte förstå det. Så jag kom på... Vid 3-tiden på natten. Jag var så sömnig. Jag hade ju inte sovit på en dag, ett par dagar. Här kom det den där vad det kallar den för som...
Konduktören.
Han sa jag var sömnig. Så kom han vid en pillar och puta och det. Jag gav en 50 cent. För den där pytan så jag kunde ligga sova mellan Morrison och Chicago. Så jag tog ut min planbok, jag hade en planbok, och han sa jag hade pengar på den. Och jag var den enda kupén, ja. Och så när jag kom, så han väckte mig när jag kom till Morrison. Det var min bror och den som han jobbade för, det var där ute och väntade på mig. Se. Det visste när jag skulle komma. Så när jag kom ut på farmen där, det var så, öppnade min planbok. Alla mina pengar var gana. Så han hade stålat dem.
Tog alltihop?
Ja. Jag hade bara $27. $27 som det är.
Alltså, det blir rent.
Yeah.
Och du tänkte inte på någonting?
Men jag kunde inte göra någonting. Jag kunde inte prova.
Du kommer från ett ärligt folk och ett ärligt land.
Ja, se. Så. Men jag hade ju 100 kronor insida i min väst.
Vem hade sagt åt dig det, att du skulle syn pengar i...
Ni alla gjorde det, tänker jag, när du reste på det. Ja. De skulle ha $100 när du kom in och visade sig. Jag tror inte jag...
Ja, du gick inte igenom Ellis Island. Det fanns inte då, va? Ellis Island?
Nej, vi gick inte in. Nej.
Ingen kontroll där?
Nej, inte på den tiden.
Så vad tyckte du när du fick se Frihetsgudinnan? Visste du vad det var? Hade du sett den på någon bild tidigare?
Vilken?
Frihetsgudinnan, The Statue of Liberty.
Ja.
Hade du...
vi kunde se den, ja.
Kände du till den innan du såg den första gången?
Nej.
Du hade inte läst
den? Vi hade aldrig hört talas om den.
Aldrig hört talas?
Nej.
Var det någon som sa någonting när du stod på båten vid relingen?
Nej.
Ingenting som sa någonting?
Se, det var många från Estland, Estonia och Lithuania som gick till Kanada på den tiden.
Ja.
De kom till Sverige. Först,
och det här gammalsvenskbyborna?
Ja.
Och du hade sällskap med sådana?
Ja, oh, ja, de hade...
Och de kunde du tala svenska med?
Ja, de talade lite svenska, ja. Ja, jag kan...
Alltså, de kom på samma båt?
Ja, men de flesta, de gick till Kanada.
Jaha, du. Men du var ensam ifrån din hemby, alldeles ensam?
Ja, från den där. Det var en från Småland och Skåne någonstans, tänker jag. Men det var fler för hela Sverige.
Men det var din hemtrakt du var
ensam? Ja, jag var den enda därifrån.
Så, när du kom på tåget då, du ringde till din moster eller till din släkting här i Morrison, du fick inte mycket besked... om vad du skulle göra eller vad du skulle möta dig eller...
Ja, när jag kom ut på farmen där ute, det var väl 3 timmar vi gick i Lamas.
När kom du till Molin eller kom du till...
Ja, det var, jag har ju rest runt i... Jag har varit uppe i North Dakota.
Ja, men alltså då när du kom från Sverige, var landade du då? I Molin eller
I Morrison. I Morrison.
Och tåget stannade
där? Ja, jag var där för... Let's see. Kanske... till 1936.
Jaså, så pass länge?
Sen jag jobbade för en engelsman där också.
Ja, som var farmare?
Han var farmare, ja.
Jaha.
Men det var dålig föda där. Så jag gick alltid...
Du heter Fryer on Chicken?
Jag gick alltid upp till Nils Benson om kvällarna och de hade en annan måltid efter jag hade. Det bodde bara ett kanske eller nästa farm kanske. Det var bara en halvängs mil dit.
Så det här Benstons nu, hade de en stor farm eller?
Ja, 160 ekar. Det var inte så stor.
Och det var allt med häst och?
Ja, allt häst. Ingen traktor.
Ingen traktor. Hur var det annorlunda jämfört med svensk jordbruk?
Yeah.
Var det lättare att vara arbeta här på en gård här eller hemma i service?
Det var lättare i Sverige.
Var lättare?
Du hade bara 2 hästar att ta reda på. Här hade ju 8-10 hästar här. De räckte dem och borstade på dem.
Och de var noga med det?
I Sverige var det noga. Här, ja, inte här, nej fan. Eller. Så vi kom den om morgonen när vi kom ut till... Så fick de mjölka kor. I Sverige, vi fick inte mjölka några kor i Sverige.
Det var fruntimmerköra det.
Ja visst. Så här, min bror han jobbade ju för den farmen. Så jag kom till, var han på, jag hade ingen jobb, jag var inte säker om jag jobb heller. Så han sa att vi ska mjölka korna. Det här hade väl kanske 20 mjölka kor. 2 mjölka den korna. Sen ska du rykta hästarna också. Du vet vad det är,
rykten. Lägga stövränder.
Ja, och det går över det probably 2 minuter på varje häst. I Sverige kan du stanna där och rykta en häst för en halvtimme. Ja, en timme. Det är bara 2 hästar där, det var fina hästar. Här det var ju skitiga hästar.
Så de var inte så noga med rykten?
Det var inte noga här. Och sen hade de kastat på
selarna.
Selarna, ja. Och så det börjar då så havre på den, jag kommer i april.
Alltså mycket havre?
Ja, det sådde havre och majs och sånt där. Så allt, du fick en man fick göra 3-4 mans arbete mot vad det gjorde i Sverige.
Så det var full rulle här då i...
Ja, en man fick göra mjölka korna och ta reda på alla de hästarna och foder dem. Och...
Kunde du lära dem mjölka nu rätt fort då? Eller?
Ja, det fick lära dig, you know, lära mjölka.
Så de släppte ner mjölken när det kom en green swede?
Yeah. Well, there were Swedes around. I worked for. He was a Swede. The one my brother worked for too. But so then I worked for another Swede. He was born in this country. And then from there, you know, I learned a little English. I took correspondence courses, and so.
So var det längre arbetstimmar här än hemma i Sverige?
Längre?
Ja, fick du arbeta en längre dag här?
No. Ungefär detsamma kanske.
Det
var lättare att arbeta i Sverige på en bondgård.
Det var det?
Ja, mycket lättare.
På vad vis då? Var det annorlunda tryck på det här? Alltså du skulle göra fortare?
Ja, men du kan se det bara tar 2 hästar. Det var alltid en arbetskraft i Sverige att klara. Fora dem och här fick jag mjölka 20-50. En man kanske mjölka 10 kor. Och ryckte hästarna och kasta på selarna sen. Och om kvällarna, men i Sverige det tog bättre reda på hästarna. De går bäddade in dem, you know, och fodrade dem vid 10-tiden på kvällen. De gick, här fodrade de bara vid 6-tiden, sen det var slut med det.
Different.
Allt ska det gå med en kläm här, säger det. Ja.
Alltså i Sverige var det ju alltid så att en skötte om hästarna och en skötte om korna. Lagerskar fanns inte här då, utan här var du allting.
Ja, var en man gjorde det.
Jack of all trades.
Ja.
Mäster och namn.
Detta landet...
Men du blev van vid det då?
Ja, jag blev van vid det. Sen kan du ju ha en bil i Sverige, kan du ju... Du var ju glad om du hade en cykel. Jag hade en cykel i Sverige.
Så här var lite annorlunda då? Här kände du lite mer... Köpte du bil resten fort?
Well, jag hade varit här ett par, 3 år kanske när jag sen.
Så köpte du bil?
Ja. Well, min bror han gick till en trip till Sverige. Så då köpte jag hans bil. Han hade en bil sen 1927.
Vad arbetade han med? Var han...
Han arbetade på...
farm?
Ja, på farm också. Men han köpte ju en farm... Well, min onkel, morbror, han skulle börja farma, se. Han hade en kind of advokat som hade många pengar. Han ägde farmen, så han... Han fick blindfarmation och dog. Så ville min bror skulle ta över farmen, var min morbror. Så det var han gjorde, det hur han började farmen. Så när jag var ute i Iowa på farm, jag arbetade.
Där du slutade var, efter 4?
Ha?
Du arbetade i 4 år då? 5?
Ja, runt Morrison, ja. Farm, ja.
Så vad var det för beslut du gjorde då att sticka ut i Iowa?
Ja, som jag sa, jag jobbade för den här engelsmannen, see? Och
Morrison.
Ja. Och så om kvällen så det var om lördagskvällen. Så vi var ute och tröskade. Det vi var tröskade.
Ja.
Vi är ute
ut på fältet.
Ja, och tröskade så vi beslutade 5-tiden, se. Så den bonden jag arbetade med, han sa jag ska gå hem och, det var om lördagskväll, det vill gå till stan Bittergräs. Jag ska gå hem och börja med, they call it chores, you know. Så du kan komma där. Så jag arbetade för det var en tyska där som vi jobbade för. Se bönderna, de flyttade runt när det tröskade. När vi slutade in farm här så gick det till den andra, se. Så den tysken kom ut och sa till mig, han sa, du kan ju stanna här för kvällsmat, se. Vänta, hon bakade bröd där, den tyske. Så det är plenty att äta där. Så jag tänkte, jag får mycket att äta där nere ändå så jag kan stanna här. Han sa, du stannar här. Så jag stannade där, se. och hans kransfolk. Så jag hade hästarna, hans, jag hade ju en vagn med mig, så jag körde. Så jag stannade, när jag kom ner till den här bonden, han var förbannad, se. Han sa, well, hey, you could have come up, you should have been here, so we had a choice and we want to go down. So that was on Saturday night. Well, I said, yeah, I thought you maybe didn't like to feed a guy too much anyway, so I do you a favor. So I get kind of, I was kind of grubbled upon that later, he let it, and I said, that's not a way. So I want to go up to North Dakota, see. I said, hell, there's a good chance to quit. So in the morning, we were sitting there milking some cows, you know, Sunday morning. I told him, I said, I'm going to quit. I said, I want to go up North Dakota. Oh, he didn't like that too good. Oh, well, I said, I'm going anyway, so. Well, he didn't have too much to do anyway after the trashing was done, so. So, okay, he got me money. I had about $35 coming, so I got the money, you know. And
but that was in the fall, though.
That was in August, first part of August, see. So, and they had just buried trashing up there in North Dakota, so. So I drove all day Sunday. I had a 31 Chevy coupe. I drove all day Sunday, and all day Sunday night. And I stopped. You ever been up in North Dakota?
Yes.
And I know between Fargo and Grand Forks, I stopped in a little town. Mayville was the name of the town. So I said, it was about 9 o'clock in the morning. I said, I'm going to stop and have something to eat. So I walked right across the street. I never will forget that. And here comes an old guy. He looked like a Scandinavian or Norwegian. So I said, he said, hello. I said, how are chances to get a job up here in the harvest field? Oh, he said, I just come to town to see if I could get somebody. I'm Norse, he said. Oh, I said, I'm Swedish. Oh, the much the better, he said. He said, you follow me, he said. So he was 84 years old, this old guy. And he said, and I stayed with him. And I got in New York there till the trashing was all done. And his son-in-law was running the farm. And he said, they kind of liked me. And he said, I'm going to take you up to Grand Forks. I said, he said, I know a Norwegian up there, they call him Norwegian Potato King. And I think I can get you a job. He said he just hired Norwegians, but he said, I think I can get you. So I got up there, and he said, he went in the office, they had an office there. He said, you stay here, and I'll go and talk to this. And he was a Norwegian born in this country, see, this guy that took me up. And he said, you stay here, and I'll see. He went in and talked to this Potato King, you know. And he said, come out about half an hour. He said, you start working Monday morning, he said, down there. So he said, then I had to go. We went back. That was about 40 miles to Mayville, there where this, you know. So then I stayed up there, you know, and I got to.
All winter?
No, all winter. Just had to get through with the potatoes. You know, and then I went from there, you know, when we get through. Then I went down to Iowa. That's where I met her, see. And she started picking corn, you know. Then, you know, corn getting ripe in October, see. So I got a job there picking corn. And that's how I got acquainted with her.
So where did you stop in Iowa then?
Vinton.
Oh, Vinton.
Vinton. You know where
Vinton? Yeah, sure.
Between Cedar Rapids
and Vinton.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a V, not a
V. Yeah, V, yeah. And that's where I met her. Then I picked for another small landing there, you know, he picked corn for him.
How did you happen to stop right there? I mean,
well, there was another Sweden. I knew.
You were hungry then after the little trip from North Dakota.
Well, I knew there was the guy from Sweden. See, that was he used to be around Morrison, and he had left to Vinton to pick corn. They made more money picking corn up there, you know, than they
would
around.
Better?
Huh?
Would they pay better in Iowa than?
Well, they did at that time, I guess. And she had an uncle too there, see, from Sweden, her dad's brother. And I kind of knew him too, see. And her dad, they came from the same part of the country where I came from, see. And That's how we got, you know.
So you got to your wife's father and her parents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You stopped right at that farm.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I didn't work for them. I worked for somebody else.
Somebody else.
Yeah, his name was Skoog. Yeah. And then I got acquainted with her. So then I see her there to pick corn. And then there was another small landing. He wanted to hire me for the winter, see. So then I stayed with him.
He paid in the winter?
Yeah. He paid me $50. That was in 1936, the worst winter we ever had in this country. Oh, cold. 36 below zero every morning, you know. Oh, he was cold.
And he had a dairy farm then?
No, he didn't. He only milked one cow, but he had a big farm, you know, where...
How could he...
He was feeding... Studer.
Yeah.
So I worked for him all winter. He had two hired men there. So, and...
But it was a cold...
It was cold. Then I had an uncle. This uncle that died, you know. He worked over in Prophetstown. In a factory, lawnmower factory, you know, where they make lawnmowers. And he said, he wrote me a letter and said, hey, I can get you a job down here in the lawnmower factory. So I went, I quit this guy in August. Because in August they were done with the crashing. He didn't have too much work to do, so he didn't care too much. So he said, if you can better yourself. And so I went down there and I started working in a factory down there. And with my uncle, and so I worked there for, I don't know, till in the winter time. Then I was acquainted with some Irishman, you know, and he said, I hear John Deere, maybe we can do the job down there. So he said, let you and me go down there. So.
Were you married then when you
No, but we was acquainted. I wrote.
Kept the address.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he can't see me.
So.
When he got hungry.
Come to my folks' place.
So he said, let's go down. So he had an aunt down here, you know. So we went down John Deere, you know, and said, I hired him. Well, there wasn't nobody there, just a watchman. He said, you come back tomorrow, he said, and in the morning, he said, and maybe we can get you find out. I think they might hire you. So he said, I got an aunt down here in Rock Island, this Irish guy, you know. Well, I know, well, he's in what the hell do you call that? He's a coroner in Rock Island, Solomon. Have you heard of him?
Solomon.
Gene Solomon. Yeah. That's the guy. He's the,
wise.
Yeah, so he said, I got an aunt down here in Rock Island. We go down to Sweden, down there, state, you know. Got a place there. And so then in the morning, went over and John Deere, we got a job in with John Deere.
What happened then when you applied for a job there? Did they ask for any papers where you have worked previously?
No, they never asked for any papers. Not at that time.
Nothing at all?
No. So then we stayed together. We stayed down in a hotel down here in East Moline, Palace Hotel, I think the name is. And we worked there all, I guess, about a year. And then I want to go out to Iowa, see, and then I quit John Deere and went out to Cedar Rapids, and I took up electric welding. I went to welding school out there.
How long did you work for John Deere then, a year?
Oh, I just worked there about probably 8 months or so.
Were you laid off then?
No, I quit.
You didn't like the job?
Well, I thought, I thought maybe I can, well, I worked in a foundry, see. I was a molder, see, kind of hard working. And I counted her too. I thought I'd go closer out there. See, I stayed at her.
Too expensive to travel up to Vinton.
Yeah, yeah. Cedar Rapids. So I took up a welding.
You didn't mention the order.
I took a welding, you know, for about a month, and then after I couldn't get any job around there, you know. So I stayed with her folks and helped them pick corn, you know. So.
You liked her cooking.
Oh, then we got married. Yeah, we got married in December. Didn't have a job. And so we thought
December 7th.
We'd go down
1937.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1937. So then in after New Year's, I thought we go down Morrison. So we drove down to Morrison. We got to this guy I used to work for, that Neil Spencer. We got in there, you know, and Yeah, we stayed in. And they started hiring people in the woods. They were putting them dams in, you know, in the river here, Mississippi River, putting them dams in. And they were hiring people clearing the woods, you know, cutting down all the woods. So we stayed there. And so my brother and I went up there. He quit the farm too. And so we went up there to Thompson. You know where Thompson is?
Yes.
Up there? And so we got a job right away for. So we worked there for, I don't know, a couple of years, I guess.
Steady job.
Yeah.
You know, cut down.
I like to work in the woods, and you know, you done that in Sweden quite a bit, you know. And so we, and let's see, then, then I went out to Iowa. It quit there. Well, in the summertime, the water came up. He wanted me to come down there and I worked there for that was in May, April. I quit that farmer out there in Iowa and came down here to Morrison.
How about your wife then? Was she going with you?
Yeah, she was with me. Yeah, so she went with me and we stayed with him. And he had a big house and we stayed in. And he just got married, my brother, you know, he hadn't been married very long. Because I got married before he did. And we didn't get along too good, see.
So it didn't work?
No, it didn't work, see. And so I quit one morning. So I drove down here. I figured we're going to Waterloo. Maybe I can get a job up in Waterloo, you know. So I stopped up here where I used to work, see, for John Deere. And here comes the superintendent walking across the road, see. He was going over to dinner, you know. So I said, his name was Earl Kimes. I said, hi, Mr. Kimes. How are the chances of getting a job over there for John Deere? He said, you wait here, I said. I'm going over and have a bite to eat. And go over to the employment office, he said. And maybe, we'll see, maybe I can get a job. So when he came back, he took me in the employment office, and he said, and I knew this guy, remember this employment man, you know. And Kaim said, hey, this guy, he likes to come back in with us again. Oh, he said, that's all right, he looks pretty healthy, he said. He said, he don't even have to go to a physical. He said, he looked good.
Well, they had that at that time.
Oh, yeah, they had. He said, hey, we just... You start working tonight, he said. So that's how it happened. Then I worked with, and I stayed with down there for 30 years.
That's it. So you didn't have to say that you worked there before and you quit or anything like
oh,
that?
Oh, they knew. They had records. They knew that. Oh, yeah, they would.
But there was no hindrance.
No.
So by that time, you had a lot of experience. You had been the dairy farmer and farmer and...
Woodcutter
and corn husker, potato grower.
Well,
the welding now. You said you were going to welding classes up there.
I couldn't get a job afterwards. Seeing them.
You couldn't.
Nah.
But you went through the school, though. Right?
Yeah, I went through the school. I took up like.
What was it, in Cedar Rapids or?
In Cedar Rapids. Yeah.
Cedar Rapids.
Yeah, they had a welding school there. Yeah.
So, but you had no use for it.
No.
So, did you meet then a lot of Swedes during that time? They had it pretty rough. I mean, here in Molin, they said that if you were not a country boy, you couldn't get a farm job, they said, because they didn't want, they could see right away, you know, if you come from a city.
Yeah.
They didn't like those guys, you know, they took the fork in a special way. And, but they had it rough, though, some of the people here in Molin.
Not at that time, did I know?
No, but 1930 and 30.
Well, I really don't, well, in 30, see, this was...
They said there were soup lines down here, you know.
See, this was 1941 when I started...
You were way up then.
That's when I came back with John Deere, see.
Yes, but...
Then everything, they hired, work was getting good then. See, the war started, Hitler started...
He was picking up then.
Oh, yeah, he was picking up good today.
During the Depression in 1930, you actually didn't have to go hungry then.
Oh, no.
You always had a job.
Oh, yeah, I always had plenty.
But it didn't pay much.
No, it didn't pay
and
much.
And no union.
No union. No, we didn't have a union. But... No, I got along good. I mean, I got up there with them potato farmers up there, you know, and he's good.
So you had no feeling to be a farmer. I mean, if you.
Oh yeah, I did. Yeah, that's right.
Did you tackle any job on them? I mean, all the phases of a farmer's life. You had.
I almost did start farming. You see, there was a guy. His name was Bergstrand. He was from Vestien, and he had a farm out there. You know, around Vinton, and. So when I worked for John Deere, I worked for John Deere for about 2-3 years, and he called me up. He said he wanted me to come out and work on his farm. He had 2 farms. He said he wanted me to take over his farm.
Was he an older guy then?
Huh?
Was he an older guy then?
Older? No, yeah. He wasn't so old, but he had 2 farms.
But he wanted you to.
Yeah, he wanted me. He bought another farm. See, and he wouldn't put me on that farm. See. Okay, so.
That was a good offer.
Well, wait a minute. I probably would have too. So, he said we better go to the draft board. See, I had my draft board in Vinton. See, so we better go to the draft board and find out. So he went to a lawyer. He made out a piece of paper, you know, and he took it into the draft board, you know, and we went into the. No, he said if you quit John Deere, he said you probably go to the. You have to put you in the service.
I see.
So John Deere, I suppose they had something to do with that. See?
So they wouldn't have helped then if you'd been a farmer? Did they?
No, it didn't look like it. No, so they said, no, you can't. So John Deere might have had me deferred and didn't know it, see. They said, if you quit John Deere, he said, we have to.
Then so. You are loose.
So, well, it was a good thing to do because.
You were in the best age then to be called up.
Oh, they probably would have called me up to if any, see. But it's a good thing because I made out better with John Deere anyhow. John Deere's a good
so
company.
You were close on to being an independent farmer.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I like farming. I like to work on a farm, but.
So when you came there in 1941 then to start your steady employment with John Deere?
With John Deere, 1941.
How about the union at the time? Were they
still? Well, we didn't have union then. The union started up then.
There was no union at John Deere?
Oh, no union, no.
In 1941?
Oh, no union. No, I was with the, when they started union down there. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but wasn't they kind of late, though? I mean, other groups had.
Well, some of them. They had a lot of trouble, you know. We went on strike, you know, and when they started a union.
So what happened then when you started up a union? Did you start? You had to be.
No, you had to go kind of on put a smug in the air, you know, see the.
Yeah, but they couldn't stop you, though.
Oh, no, they couldn't stop me, but.
Well, how could they get rid of you if you didn't like you?
No, they couldn't. They wouldn't do that. John Deere isn't that. John Deere isn't that dirty. John Deere's a good company. You know?
Yeah, but at that time, I mean, you know.
Yeah, but they didn't. If they had good men, you know, they wouldn't. Who would take their place, you know? No. So they had a steward, you know, a guy, elected steward. So we had to go and pay him. He started out with $1 a month for union duty. And then he had elected officers, you know, and it started. Then they had to vote on it, see? You know, we had a lot of trouble, you know.
Did all workers belong to us?
No, you had trouble with them. Maybe 50% of them, maybe, you know.
You mean they were afraid then to you?
Oh, yeah. They didn't want to, you know, they didn't like to, you know, but you had to fight your way for every bit you got, see.
Oh. And so did you have an outsider coming in from Chicago or?
Outsider? Yeah.
To help you out, I mean, to get
organized? Yeah, they did, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But you were one of them that started up.
Yeah.
So there were some resistance.
Well, I wasn't a steward or anything, no, but they had the other guys, you know. But, you know, I wasn't too, you know. But before we had a union, we had to go in and sign a piece of paper, you know, for John Deere, you know. They took one man in at a time, see, just like that you wouldn't, I don't know what.
Join a union?
Huh? Yeah, I suppose, something like that.
Yeah, but that was against the law after Roosevelt came in, wasn't it, 1934, 35?
Well, this was in 41, first by 41 and 42, and they...
And you had to sign a paper then that you...
Yeah, John Deere took in, you know, like, we didn't know what to sign, we didn't have to, they weren't in the office, they weren't just there, and...
Yeah, but didn't you get the copy of what you signed?
No, he didn't, nothing, you know. So
a blank paper, and they filled in after.
Yeah, you had to sign, I don't even, I don't... I don't even know what is on the piece of paper.
Gee,
you know,
you put down something, wouldn't
you? Yeah. Oh, would you sign the paper without reading it, though?
Well, we was working.
You want to work?
Yeah, we was out there working, piecework, you know, and they said they called one in at a time, you know. Oh, yeah.
You got to get back on the line.
Oh, secret message.
And I remember one time down there with some guy, you know, he wanted to be a foreman or something. He wanted to get rid of the, during the war, they wanted to get rid of the superintendent, you know. So he wanted everybody to sign a piece of paper to get rid of him, you know. Get rid of, you know, didn't like him. So they come over to me, he said, "We want to get rid of that guy. You want to sign this paper?" I said, "For what?" "Well, we want to get rid of that guy." I said, "That guy ain't gonna done me anything, any harm." I said, "Why should I sign that piece of paper?" So you know what happened? The company, they needed to give it to the company, you know, the higher boss. And so you know what they did? They called each man in at the time, see, and said, what do you got against this guy? Nothing. So, and I didn't sign. I said, "What?" He said, "You smart, you saw it, but you didn't." So you know, the guy never done me any harm or anything. But just because this guy, he was
didn't like him.
Yeah, well, he probably wanted his job or something.
So he stayed on them.
Yeah, he stayed. Stayed.
Down.
But this guy that signed up, he did get a good job too. Later on, you know, he lives up there in Van Quartum. You ever hear of it? Eddie Van Quartum, you know, yeah, that's the one. He was the one that signed. He's a Belgian. He lives over on 7th Street. He's retired now, but you know, but they didn't.
So during this time of 1941 and up to 45, there was the wartime.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Then the union activities couldn't be too active, because if you were too bad, they could actually said out you go and up an army.
Yeah, I mean,
there was no law then, you couldn't organize, I mean, against it.
Oh no, we organized all right.
During that time, the war?
Yeah, during the war, yeah.
What was the first objectives to look for? I mean, more pay or vacation, hospitalization?
Well, health benefit.
Health benefit. There was sore point, in other words, for the war.
You know, look all the benefits we're getting, you know. Before, we had to pay for our own...
Now, if you were hurt in a job now, for instance, and laid off for 2 months, you didn't get any pay?
No, not...
Not from John Deere? They pay for your...
You mean at that time?
Yeah, 1941.
No.
If you hurt a finger, for instance, you were...
Oh, no, you didn't get any pay, no.
No pay?
Oh, no.
But they pay for the doctor, though.
Yeah, because you had to pay for... You had to pay so much a month for the... What the hell they call it? You know, so much a month at the... insurance. You had to pay for your own insurance.
Yeah, but John Deere also paid, I suppose.
Yeah, they paid part of it. Yeah.
Part of it.
Yeah.
Oh. But you didn't get any reimbursement for lost time.
Oh, no.
That was unheard of.
No. Yeah, I used to go out there. We was we was laid off, you know, in between. We used to go out there and pick tomatoes in the summertime.
Why did they lay workers off in the summertime?
Well, because it was slack, you know, I guess.
Why was it slack at just that time? You would think they would have...
They had too many machineries, you know, I suppose. The farmers didn't buy them, you know, and something. Or maybe they couldn't get the equipment. Maybe the government took some of the...
Well, this was during the war, no?
Yeah, it was during the war, too.
And there was still slack during the war? You were laid off in the...
I was laid off for maybe a couple of months there one time. And a lot of times it was on strike, you know, and... I bet I lost at least a year's time on strikes. We was on 5 months there one time.
In the early 40s?
Oh, well, yeah, 40s and 50s, you know. So, you know, you had to, in order to get more benefit, you had to go and fight for it, see, strike.
So they wouldn't give in then?
Oh, no, they fight. But now, I mean...
Were they... What was the worst point they were against? More pay, more holidays, more hospitalization?
Yeah, you know, there's so many things, you know. You know, benefits and more vacation, you know, and now they have to pay a guy, you know, like a steward or committee man. See, if he some trouble, you know, he goes out there. John Deere has to pay him, you know. I got a boy that works up in Dubuque for John Deere.
Mm-hmm. He was transferred from here up to there.
Yeah, he got 23 years in John Deere.
I see. So you had to fight for it then, for the next generation.
Oh, yeah, you sure. But now, a lot of that, they're taking it away now, see. Times are getting tougher, you know, and the contract is coming up now in next year. No, yeah, in 86. And they might take some of the benefits away from people then.
So when you had the agreement, then, was it for 2 years or 3 years? Or
3 years, yeah.
3 years?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, we got a book. They send that book every right now. What benefits and we got it. You see, you only.
So you were in there from the beginning then. Any benefits you have fought for it.
Oh yeah, bet you.
So you had 5 month strike one time.
Oh, at one time we were down from. I bought a new car, 1955 Chevy in January, and we was out till in June. But. Well, that time I...
Who had to give in then, the workers or the...
Well, they kind of went together, you know, they sometimes they lost and sometimes they gained.
Did they always sit down and talk with you?
Oh yeah. They
couldn't refuse to do that?
Oh no, they didn't refuse, no. I built this house when it was on strike for 5 months.
But at that time the strike benefits were not that great though.
We went on strike when we got pretty good there. Well, not too much, you know, but, you know, we had strike funds, see. Now, you know, they pay two hours work every month, see. If they make $12 an hour maybe now. See, they probably pay 24 hours. Yeah, probably, you know. Two hours work a month. That's what it's been on there for a long time. And then if you get laid off, see, they got that sub pay. They call it sub pay. You pay 5 cents an hour. That they take that 5 cents an hour. See, that's about, you know, 40 cents a day. You know, and that accumulates. See, and that's the money if you get laid off. See, they get money from John Deere. That comes from John Deere, you know, out of there, and then from the state, you know. So it's a lot better now, but I don't look for John Deere to go on strike much, you know. Now they got some benefit they get. Like they're in with the company. The company, if a company makes more money, then they get.
I know what you mean. Yeah, well, I think
it either. Because I'm not so interested in now because I don't work with, you know.
One thing I wonder about in the beginning, the workers were not too keen about to have more vacation. Was that because you were laid off in the summer? You had enough spare time to. You didn't know what to do.
When I started working with John Deere, I think you had to work there. Well, a year you got
one week vacation,
and then 5 years you might have two, and then up to 10 years, then you got another week or 15. Then you got so up to 25. You had to work 25 years to get 4 weeks vacation.
4 weeks. So you qualified for that then.
Oh yeah.
Before you ended your...
Because now they get something else, you know. If you work steady now, then you get, if you work, if you don't lose any time a week, they give you an hour, you know, and something, you know. And then, so it's a lot better, you know, than what it used to be.
So when you worked on there in 1941, what kind of people were there? Were there a lot of Swedes still at the time?
Not in that plant where I work. No.
Was that the harvester or the foundry or?
No, this was down there spreader works. Over the harvester, there were more Swedes, but it wasn't many Swedes in there where I work. I don't know.
Were they Belgian people?
A lot of Belgians, Irish, and all mixed, you know, Missourians and from all over, you know.
How were they to work together? We know it.
We got along good.
In a workplace like that, there's always tensions building up.
Oh no, not too much.
But you didn't have any.
No, not too much. I think there are more Belgians in the foundry where I work. I was molder there for 14 years. Then I went on assembly after that, see? Then I was assembler for the rest of the time I worked in.
Then it I worked. Piece work then?
Yeah, I always worked piecework, yeah. And then they closed that place down, you know, before. That place I worked, they closed that down. So they sent us over to Harvester, John Deere Harvester. Where they, so I worked on a combine, where they make a combine line, see? And I worked 5 months. But the union over there, they only gave us 2 years seniority, see? So then it started getting slack. So, heck, I had almost 30 years in. And heck, we got laid off. So then they... But now seniority goes right with you wherever you go. See, if you get from one plant to another, it goes right. See, the union changed that. They didn't think it was right that us guys, you know. But then that union over there, because I didn't care. And then I drawed in unemployment for a whole year.
His mother and dad's picture. I can't find.
So during the war now, that was all based on the war production then? There was no machinery, no combines, no...
Oh yeah, they make... No, well, I didn't work at it. We make mostly manure spreaders and corn shellers and...
During the war?
Oh yeah, some of them.
Oh, I see. Oh, so the machinery was still produced?
Oh yeah, they had some...
The farmers.
But we had some government works, like wheels for... I don't know what them wheels went through. They had a lot of wheels and they shipped them out. Of course, some of them other... Oh, we made shells too. That's right. We made shells. I work with the shells. We put bands on them, you know, and then you machine them down, you know. Yeah, we had quite a bit of that too.
It was almost like an extension of the Rock Island Arsenal then.
Yeah, I think so. But
so then when you came up in the 50s and 60s, then they started to boom up more and more, and the farmers bought new machinery.
Yeah, oh yeah.
What was the year you think it was the third? Because you retired in 1970.
71. Yeah.
And they was in high boom then.
Yeah.
I mean, they were producing combines.
Oh yeah, they had. But like I said, the union only gave us 2 years seniority. Then it started getting slack. And we were the first ones out, see. So I was laid off for a whole year. Drawing unemployment and that...
In the late 60s?
Yeah, 60, yeah, 70, 60, yeah.
So the union went too far then, you think? The union went too far then, you think?
No, union didn't have anything to do with that. That's a local union over there, see. That wasn't the whole... But they changed that, so they only gave us 2 years seniority. Okay, so we had to go out. But we drew unemployment, see. It was pretty good to start out. Then after the money started running out and getting on. And then my time went on, see, after 30 years, I said I could retire. So... Then they called me back. I said, "We got a job for you now." They called me up over the phone. I said, "No." I said, "Hey, you guys kind of spoiled me." I said, "I got my time. I got enough time to retire now." I said, "You know, I had 30 years."
Well, they were still counting then. You were out, but they were still counting your seniority.
Oh yeah, my time still went on. You know, just like if I was working. So I said, "We'd like to have you come back to work now." I said, "You spoiled me now." I said, "I'm glad I did too, because, I mean, we get enough, we get along with
that." You didn't went back?
I didn't go back. No, I didn't go back. I just went down and they signed up for retirement.
You bucked them, huh?
Get it.
Then you felt pretty good.
Oh, yeah, what the heck. We can go wherever we want to. Hey, we've been in Sweden 4 times since then. So, I mean, hey, we take bus trips, tours, you know. We've been out to Washington and Oregon, up in Canada, you know, and out in... Yeah, we've been doing a lot of traveling. I don't know, we're kind of debating if we're going to Sweden this summer, and they want us to come over one more time, I don't know.
So you have most of your brothers then in Sweden?
Yeah.
And your sister is still living also
sister,
in Sweden?
Yeah.
And only you and one more brother
became
immigrants?
Yeah.
So if you look back now and compare with the one that stayed in Sweden, how did you... Do you feel pretty good, in other words, compared what they have or went through? Was it easier for them in Sweden, you think, than what you had?
It is not easy for them now, you know.
Yeah, but at that time when you left,
did
they have a rough time in the 30s?
He was rough, you know. You couldn't get any work.
There was low pay there.
I mean, after they growed up, you know, then they started in Melby. I don't know if you ever heard of Melby.
Yes, yes.
And that's where they made the parts for Volvo, you know.
So some of your brothers worked there then?
Oh, yeah. They're still working. They're making radiators. I got to see one. I got three brothers working there in that factory in Melby.
If you compare Volvo, yeah, Union now, and the John Deere Union, I mean, you have a representative from here.
Yeah.
If you compare the two, which one has been the most beneficial for humankind?
Volvo Union.
Yeah, in other words, the workers now, the workers
in Sweden.
Volvo.
Yeah.
Were they stronger than John Deere?
Oh yeah, they're strong. In Sweden, that's strong. Oh, Union is strong in Sweden, you know that.
Yeah, but have they more benefits than what you had there from John Deere, for instance?
I think. Now, if you mean the money, if I trade the money. Now, I think I'm better off than they are, really.
You had more benefits over here than what they have in Sweden.
Yeah, I think so. As long as I'm healthy, but if I get sick, you know, and I don't know about that. They take better care of over
they
in Sweden.
They have 100% coverage.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Well, we are too. If we go to a doctor, it don't cost us anything, see.
Oh, and you're on the HMO and
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, we just sign up. Because I never been in a hospital in my life, see, but I've been pretty lucky. But the people that happen to get sick, you know, I know different people that put it
in. So when you talk to your brothers now, you compare the two systems, I suppose.
Yeah, well, I think I'm better off than them. I don't think, because taxes in Sweden is, you know, high. And no, I think I'm better off than that, really.
Is there something that their union have that you don't have, for instance, when you have compared the two? They have 5 weeks vacation.
Yeah, I know, but, John Deere, I think they get about 5 weeks because they got an extra, you know, week too, but no, I think the union in Sweden are more dependable, you know. Here, in this country, the union could be, you know, they have working, you know, it's only about 20% of the workers in this country that belong to union, you know, so.
So the backbone is
yeah, there. See, it used to be about 30 or 37, but now, you know, they.
Yeah, but like in your department, not John Deere, when you worked.
Yeah.
You were all unionized, though, the workers.
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't work beside you with or being in a union.
No, they had to belong to you.
They had to belong to you.
Yeah, yeah. They give them 90 days to belong to you. If they don't, they have to. But now, you know, like over in Iowa, they got right to work. If you don't want to belong to union in Iowa, you don't have to. Union can't do anything with them.
This is only the state of Iowa, though.
Well, they got a different state. They're trying to get it in here too, but you know, I don't know. Nice. You know. But in Sweden, they have to belong to the union, don't they? All, huh?
Well, I really don't know, because there could be different factors. but when you started out, then most of the workers didn't belong to the union for the first year, did you?
No, you had to go and beg them, you know, to. Yeah, so. But.
A six-pack of beer, you know, will do it.
They didn't want to pay that union dues, you know. And now these young people, you know, like our boy, you know, they don't know what we went through, you know.
Can you explain now to your boyfriend?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can explain to him, but would they believe you now? No. See?
So what he is getting today, you started.
Yeah.
I mean, you had to work your back off, you know,
strikes
and all kinds of different things. So he came into a set table.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when he got a job, you know, he had... poor jobs too, you know, but
he started young then.
I called up the employment man right here from the house. I said, I got a boy here, he's about 18 years old, how about him getting a job down? He said, send him down, he said. So he got a job right away.
You were working then?
I worked with him. So they put him on welding, see. You know, they break him in a welding, but he didn't make it, you know, so they just put him on something else, so.
Is that piecework too?
Oh yeah, it's just about all piecework.
Why do they have to work so hard, I mean, with piecework? You know, there's a slack in the production.
Well, that's
why do they kill the workers on the assembly line when they can take it easy a little bit and enjoy themselves?
Yeah, but that's why the company make money. See, that's what they make money on, them piece workers. They don't make money on a sweeper or somebody sitting in the office doing nothing. No. No, that's the production, that's, you know.
There's another thing now, all those sitting in the office, as you say,
yeah,
they have no union. But they
you a lot of places they do, but not John Deere, no.
Yeah, but they automatically get all your benefits that you work for.
Yeah, you know why? Because to keep the union out. Sure, that's all it's for. See, we fight.
But don't they feel awkward? I mean, here you should be on the strike line
for
5 months and be unemployed for a half year, and they get all the benefits.
Well, sure.
Automatically.
They do that so they keep the union out. The company is that smart, see? Well, sure. That isn't hard to figure that out. No, we go out and go on strike for 5 months, you know, and these guys. But now the company is getting smart. They're doing away with a lot of these guys sitting in the office.
White collar.
John Deere's been cut down a lot of them, boy. They're really weeding them out.
So there are hard times ahead now.
Yeah, bro.
So if you've been a farmer now in Vinton.
Farmer?
Yeah. What would you have seen your forecast today? I mean, for instance, if you've been a farmer now 19...
I probably would have owned a farm out there.
You'd be still on...
I probably would have owned a farm, yeah.
But the security for the future would have been weak then compared to...
Yeah, it would. But at that time, farming was... you know, farmers, they make money.
Yeah.
Sure. That farmer I worked for up there in Morrison, before he died, he had about 3 farms, you know. So, and he came from Sweden, so he done really good.
Yeah.
And my brother, you know, he got a farm, and he's been doing good. He's well fixed. So I mean, you know.
And you married a farmer's daughter from Småland.
Yeah. Well,